The scripture for this morning is located on the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter number 8, verses 1 and 2. And read like this. The Lord's word came to me. Human one, say to the prince of Tyre, the Lord God proclaims. In your arrogance, you say, I am God. And as God, I rule the seas. Through your claim, you have the mind of a God, but you are mortal, not divine. You are not God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity to proclaim the good news. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. This past week, during the 1st of May demonstrations of the International Labor Day March in Puerto Rico, occurred something so sad and reprehensible. At some point, a large group of people tried to pass through a side street on the demonstration, and the state police blocked the pass, provoking tensions between the marchers and the police. People got anxious as police coming to use force, surrounding the people and spreading tear gas to all four sides of the perimeter. It was a brutally forceful police demonstration, and that created desperation, anxiety, allergic and medical reactions. It was something totally out of common sense. People injured, others in their anxiety jumped on top of people trying to escape from the danger zone. And again, this is the body part of the state that's supposed to bring security and take care of the people who are affirming their rights to protest. What I expect is the police to bring instructions and assist the crowd and be sure the people are safe. Hundreds of thousands of people marching around main avenues. The routes were advertised in advance by media. But during the event, main avenues were blocked by the police. Confrontation, power demonstration. The people begin to feel pissed off. Sun, heat, hunger, anxiety, trapped. How do we react in the middle of a multi-generational demonstration attacked by the state police? And the government openly censors the people and affirms the response of the police as a right action. Again, institutional abuse and power and intimidation. The text that takes base in the sermon for this morning is the passage where the prophet Ezekiel says to the prince of Tyre, you are not God. You are saying and pulling, thinking you are a God, but you are mortal. You are not God. This is an affirmation in how to the prince of the city, but the chapter right before to this one. On chapter 27, the writings from the book of the prophet Ezekiel describe how the city got that glorious shine and how the city fell down in poverty and desolation. The prophet said to the city, this is what is happening and this is what will happen if you don't take seriously the way in which you do trade and business. The government of Tiri got responsibility in the destruction of the wellness of that city. And the prophet in this chapter posed the government and let them know that they are not God, that they are human. The prince is not a divine model. He is a mortal human. I don't know how the city respond to the prophetic call, but I know how this community or university church took seriously of the South Side situation. And we fight against media, the power of the university, to establish, at least to call the attention of the need of a trauma center in the South Side. This week, we have been celebrating the opening of that trauma center just in the west side of this street. I'm glad, and this church has to be so glad about what a community demonstration can reach and can get. Puerto Rico is facing one of the most dramatic and devastating crises as a nation. The economic 1%, the banks, are asking for the money back of long years of supporting economically this country. The payment of external debt and the states are helping the banks to get their money back, taking part of the retreatment plan of the workers, dismantling all the decades of collective agreements and singing a new labor reform to benefit the banks, and closing 287 schools in addition to 75 already closed this year. The people took seriously that they have to go out to the street and demonstrate that they disagree with those decisions. You know, deep inside, there's is a fracture in the life of the people. 120 years of colonialism under this country and 400 more under Spain sent some signals into the society. Some people think the police response was the right one. Some people think they just have to pay the debt without screening and audit and see what is legal from this debt, what is illegal, and what we already paid, and what is the real amount of the debt. When you see inside the fracture, there are people around. People who think differently. People who come from different sides of the spectrum, and the challenge is how to put those forces in conversation. How to use the momentum of the community life to put all these thoughts in conversation. And that is a wonderful thing that happens around food. The blessing that represent the table, the blessing that meals represent, the power of food to put people in tune. like what happens in this church, that we gather around food so much. You saw how the pastor announced the soul food contest, no? You know that. You know that people practice in advance the recipes, and they, yes. And they come here very sure that they will be the winners. We gather around the table every week. We gather around the tables and in the fellowship hall every single Sunday and also in other events. We perform a ritual that from scratch table, that a ritual is an open space to feel welcome and to feel part of the house. As we take serious an invitation for dinner in our society, as we take serious the opportunity to get to know each other, as we take serious the opportunity to do most of the time to know each other. I do that here. I do that in the fellowship hall. I do that in my building as a covenantal community. We gather every week in a potluck. We don't have to agree with each other, but it's an opportunity to know how the other think about things. To sit around the table, you don't have to resign from who you are, but rather it's an opportunity that in humbleness embrace the life of the other and try to stretch ties of understanding and compassion. That is the miracle behind food and community meals. It's all around the Bible stories, and it's around our cultures, and it's as well as we value and have values on how and which how much dignity we deep know each other. We feel the hungry. And how do we embrace people in compassion and affirmation of the dignity beyond their emphasis? And there is the affirming component of being open and affirming, for example. How much responsibility does the church have in the process of those forces getting in conversation? How many opportunities do we have to build community? And to build community is not to build homogeneity. To build community is an opportunity to affirm ways to transform our society and our world into a better place to live. There is when the bread of life, with a capital B, comes to us as a science of life. The bread of life and the cup of hope. For that, the voice of the prophet to the prince of Tyre takes so much value. The government allows the situation. Some responsibility of the chaos comes from the inaction of the government. And this week, what happens in Puerto Rico was the claim of the people for better life, to the right to get a full retreatment plan that people already paid. Schools in people's neighborhoods, food for everyone. There is much more, but people took seriously the word of the prophet Ezekiel and went to the street and said to the banks, "You are not God. You think you are God, but you are not. Government, you think you can govern, making devotions, hiding from the people, making decisions, hide them from the people, so you are not God. I want to finish this holy conversation around a concept and a value from a sister religion. My friends, from the Sikh tradition, that we have been talking about this during the recently weeks. I learned this from the guys where I work in a detention center, working with Sikh guys through the, and they taught me something that changed my way of seeing and understanding ministry, the concept of seva. Seva is a God's mandate to serve the other, to feed the hunger, to do volunteering work, to support the gurdwara, the temple, and to help the neighbors. When people prepare meals, when we prepare the table, we do this in a sacramental way. My grandmother taught me how to prepare communion, how to respect do we take, how do we handle the moment, and it's the same with meals. We want to be welcoming, hospitable, and the grateful of every cooker is the satisfaction that the food they did was the pleasure of the people who enjoyed from that. It is a sense of gratitude. Then the Lord so partake relevance in the life of the congregation every time it opened room for comfortability, community engagement, and space for interaction and conversation. You don't have to think like your neighbor, but you will enjoy to stand in line with them to get served by the bread of life and the cup of hope with another human who served you with seva, with the sense of service and compassion, but also with love and affirmation. Food comes to us as a promoter of life, and we share it with a sense of service and with proudness to set up a momentum for understanding and dialogue. We claim, we accompany the people in public witness, and we honor people who serve with love and sense of seva, in love. Understanding that around the table we can have moments to know better our neighbors. And I am opening this to the ritual that we will perform, and we will open our life to the tables, saying that there are many tables, not just this table, but many tables, as witness of a community who gather, as a community who celebrate and recognize the dignity of the human being, whoever neighbor represent, and the value of their reflections. You don't have to think same that your neighbor, but you must serve them with love, compassion, and affirmation, because a better world is possible. Let us meditate at this time on those words.